o'clock. We'll call this meeting to order. The recording is in progress, it tells me. So item one, Treaty 6 land recognition. We would like to acknowledge that this meeting of the Students Association of McEwen University is taking place on the traditional territories of the people of the Treaty 6 region in Central Alberta. The Students Association of McEwen University is situated in the center of what we call the City of Edmonton, which is called Emiskwichi Waskaigan or Beaver Hill House in Nehiyawiwin. This is the traditional home of the Nehiya and Michif, a meeting place for many Indigenous peoples, including the Ngawe, Siksika, Nakota Sioux, and other nations. Item two, approvals, 2.1, we have a motion. Can I have someone introduce that motion, please? Someone? Councillor Tran?
I move to approve the agenda for September 15th, 2021.
Thank you, Councillor. And a second, please. President, thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for September 15th, 2021. Is there any debate? The question is on the adoption of the motion to approve the agenda for September 15th, 2021. Is there anyone in opposition? Please speak now. The motion is carried. Item 2.2, we have a motion. Can I have someone introduce that motion, please? Councillor Simodiuk.
I move to approve the minutes of August 18, 2021.
Thank you, Councillor. And a second, please. Vice President of Operations and Finance, thank you. It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of August 18th, 2021. Is there any debate? Question is on the adoption of the motion to approve the minutes of August 18th, 2021. Is there anyone in opposition? Please speak now. That motion is carried. Item three, presentations, 3.1, audited financials, MNP, Vice President Operations and Finance. I think you're introducing our guest.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chair. So with us today, we have Patrick Marr, who has a CPA and CA, and he's from MNP. So welcome, Patrick, and I will hand the floor off to you.
Great. Thank you very much. And thank you to all of you for having me to join your meeting here tonight. You were mentioning at the beginning of the meeting how for at least a few of the councillors, you've never sat in the chairs in the council chambers at SAMU. And I would agree, for me, it feels like a million years since I've done a presentation in that room as well. So hopefully it's not so long in the future before we're able to do that again. Indeed, I am Patrick Moore, for those of you who haven't met me either in person, which at this point might not be very many of you, given how long the pandemic has been going on. But I am the audit partner responsible for the audit of the financial statements of SAMU. I've been involved with this organization for a number of years, and it's always an audit client, and this is always a meeting that's sort of close to my heart, as when I was in university, I was also very involved in student groups. Although I have to say that every year that I join this meeting, it reminds me that that time is ticking away since I was involved in those student groups, because I keep getting more gray hair and you guys keep staying exactly the same age. So that's definitely something that I've been noticing over the course of time. So our purpose here tonight is to discuss the outcome of our audit engagement, as well as I will provide an overview of some highlights of the financial statements. In order to do that, I'll just share up my screen with you. And if I've done that successfully, I think you should be able to see that up on the screen now. If someone can give me a thumbs up. All right, that's great. Perfect. So yes, of course, tonight we will review various items that will be of interest to you as members of the Students' Council. We'll cover the audit results as well as an overview of the financial statements, as I had indicated. So to begin, I'd like to just provide some highlights of the stakeholders and the players in the audit process. I often say that auditing is a team event. It's not an individual sport, and there are various people involved in this process. The purpose of our audit initially, however, is to enhance the confidence of the readers of SAMU's financial statements. And for your organization, ultimately, that is the membership, the student body of the university. Our objective as auditors is to assess whether or not the financial statements are fairly presented. And then that opinion does provide a high level of assurance to your members, to the students. So in terms of the stakeholders in that program with management, and I think I saw that Justin was on the call just a minute ago, Justin would be the primary portion of management that we would work together with. And management is responsible for the numbers that would be going into the financial statements, as well as for establishing internal controls and processes to protect the assets of SANMI. Council then, or all of you who are on the call here tonight, is responsible for reviewing and approving the financial statements, which will take place as part of this meeting, as well as for providing general oversight of SAMU, as well as management. Then lastly, as auditors, MNP's responsibility is really pretty simple, and that is to carry out our audit in accordance with Canadian audit standards and to provide our opinion on the financial statements. So in terms of audit status, as you can imagine, since we are here meeting about the audit tonight, our procedures are complete. And following the completion of this meeting and the formal review and approval of the financial statements, we will be ready to issue our audit report. That report will express a clean, unmodified opinion to the readers of your financial statements, which is really what you would expect and is consistent with previous years. While our audit does cover all components of the financial statements, auditing is based on an analysis of risk, and what you would see on the screen are the areas of greatest focus. Certain of these are consistent with other not-for-profit organization audits that we would carry out, namely around revenue recognition and deferred revenue, for example. Unique, however, to students' associations like SAMU would be around the health and dental programs, and in particular with respect to ensuring that we are comfortable with the accrual for incurred but not reported health and dental claims, which is always a significant estimate in the financial statements. One item of the audit that I think is important to touch on is around the building. Last year was the first year that we covered the building really as part of our audit presentation to council, as fiscal 2020 last year was the first year of substantial completion of the building and when payments began in relation to that building lease. Just by way of brief refresher, for the presentation in the financial statements. Although the SAMU building is owned by McEwen, that building is accounted for as an asset of SAMU due to the long-term nature of the lease with the university. And so that's why when we look at the financial statements, we see that there is both a leased building asset as well as a capital lease obligation. In terms of that building asset, like all capital assets, it is amortized or depreciated. It's written down over the estimated useful life of the building. And for SAMU's building, that was determined to be 25 years. That estimate was determined last year by management in consultation with experts from McEwen as part of the first year of the building officially coming online. Lastly, then, in relation to the lease is repaid at the same rate as the underlying financing, which is obtained by McEwen. And the term of that lease is initially for 25 years or the useful life, which has been established for the building, but it is renewable for an additional 74 years, bringing the lease to a possible 99 years in total. COVID obviously has continued to have a noticeable and demonstrable impact on probably almost every aspect of all of our lives. It's clearly the reason why we are meeting here like this tonight and not sitting in those chairs in council chambers. It's obviously continued to have an impact on SAMU and the operations. From a financial statement perspective, it is important that we are considering the events up until the date of the approval of the financial statement. So in other words, today, and to consider both the known impact to SAMU as well as the unknown impact of the pandemic that could take place into the future. There is note disclosure in the financial statements, which does acknowledge the existence of the pandemic, and we are comfortable with the disclosure in that note, which outlines, as I said, both the known and unknown future impact of COVID-19. I do think it is important to point out that that type of note disclosure is not unique to SAMU or to students' associations or even not-for-profit organizations in general. Any organization that would be issuing audited financial statements really since the onset of the pandemic would have this type of note disclosure as required by the accounting standards. The last item which I wanted to comment on from an audit perspective is around independence. Perhaps this is the most important slide in the entire discussion here tonight. As auditors, it is really critical that we are independent of SAMU, which means being independent of management, independent of student council, et cetera, to ensure that our audit work is reliable and meaningful and objective for the readers of the financial statements. I can confirm that MNP has been and remains independent of SAMU as required by our professional standards. From here, I'm going to move on to provide some key highlights and a brief overview of some of the most important aspects of the current year's financial statements. What you'll see on the upcoming slides are some charts and graphs that present the same information out of the audited financial statements, but just in a graphical format rather than on the statements themselves, which sometimes can be a little easier to understand and be useful for the purposes of the discussion. So first of all, beginning then with key financial position and balances, so sort of the assets and liabilities of SAMU, beginning with current assets. Current assets are items that will be turned into cash or used up within a year. And we do see an increase in current assets for this fiscal year of about 1.9 million, bringing us to about 9.1 million of current assets in total. This is largely due to additional cash that was on hand at the end of the year. And really, when we look at the previous fiscal year at 2020, that year had seen large cash outlays related to the building, as there were significant payments that were made, which did not take place in the current year, leading to the increase in cash. On that note, then, thinking about the capital assets, obviously the building is the most significant of that property and equipment. There was actually a net decrease in capital assets of about $1.4 million, bringing that to about $30 million in total. That is primarily related to building amortization in the year, which would have been offset by some minor equipment additions. Thinking then about the liabilities or the amounts owed to other entities by SAMU, the current liabilities are amounts owed that will or could be paid or come due within 1 year. Overall, there was an increase in current liabilities of about $430,000, bringing that to about $2.7 million at the end of 2021. This would be primarily related to additional deferred revenue, for example, around the health and dental program, as rates did increase in the year. Lastly, net assets. Net assets are sort of like the equity in the organization. In other words, what's left over after you take all of the assets and settle all the liabilities, this is what would remain. The net assets of the organization are about $15.5 million at year end. And a large majority of these net assets have been internally restricted for very specific purposes in the future. So these would relate to things like the contingency fund, the health and dental fund, building maintenance, building major expenses, as well as SAMU CARES. So thinking then about revenue the income generating sources for SAMU, obviously the vast majority of SAMU's revenue comes from student fees and health and dental fees. And this, I suppose, is even especially more prevalent in times of COVID as other revenue streams have been reduced. That means, as indicated in note one to the financial statements, SAMU is dependent upon the university for its primary source of revenue. So to put that a different way, without the university, there are no students, and without students, there is no students association. That type of disclosure around that dependency on the university for that source of revenue or for that membership base is consistent with every other major students association that you might see financial statements for. Overall, total revenue for the year increased by about $46,000 or 0.5% to be about $9.1 million total. This really would have been driven by increases in student fees, offset by more minor decreases in other areas for the year. So sort of zooming out and looking at the rest of the income statement to take into account the revenue and expenses of the organization. Overall, as indicated, revenue actually ended relatively consistent with the prior year with that increase of about 0.5%. Expenses, on the other hand, were down by about 3% to a total of about $6.8 million. And consistent with many other organizations that have been impacted by COVID, this really would be primarily due to programs and services that incurred lower expenses due to the ongoing impact of the pandemic. Amortization expense, on the other hand, is a major expense of SAMU, particularly since the building has come online and is presented separately in the statement of operations. Amortization for the year totaled about $1.4 million. This is the depreciation of the capital assets. And as noted previously, obviously the building is by a order of magnitude, many orders of magnitude, the largest capital asset of SAMU. That means that of the $1.4 million of amortization expense, about $1.3 million of it, or almost all of it, actually relates to the building itself. So all told, when we consider all of the revenues and expenses of SAMU for the 2021 fiscal year, SAMU generated a significant excess of revenue over expenses, or surplus to put that a different way, which has been earmarked for specific programs in those restricted funds as noted previously. So lastly then, I did want to provide some commentary around the actual cash flows of the organization. So this provides a summary of the statement of cash flows, which really takes away all of the impact of the accounting adjustments and breaks down the actual just ins and outs of the bank account of SAMU. So what were the deposits and withdrawals through those bank accounts? Beginning with cash from operations, this category represents the cash that is generated by the day-to-day activities or the day-to-day operations of SAMU. Overall, those operations did generate about a $3.4 million inflow of cash. And as you can see, that is a really significant difference compared to 2020. That difference is largely due to the timing of the receipt of payments. As at the end of 2020, there was a significant balance in accounts receivable from the university. And because that AR didn't exist at the end of 2021, the cash was in the bank instead, leading to that significant cash inflow. On the other hand, in terms of cash outflows, looking at the repayments of capital lease obligations, these are the payments made to McEwen in association to the building lease. For the current year, there was a cash outflow related to lease payments of about $713,000. This is in accordance with the lease agreement and obviously will be expected for the next 25 years into the future until that lease has been fully paid out. In the prior year, there had been some disposal of investments to fund certain operating activities and purchases that were made. For 2021, there was no similar disposal of investments. And then lastly, in terms of purchases of capital assets, for 2020, as I had mentioned, there were very significant purchases of capital assets related to the completion of the building in excess of $1 million. For the current year, there were total capital additions of about $26,000. So once we look at the net effect of all of this, there was a total increase in cash for the year of about $2.7 million, bringing that total cash on hand to about $7.4 million at the end of June 2021. But it is important to remember that that was the balance at the end of June, and obviously as several months have passed, that would change every single day, and that balance would be different as of now. So that provides an overview of the key highlights of our audit process, as well as the key items in the financial statements. So I think at this time, I would turn it over to counsel for any questions that you might have or any clarifications that I may be able to provide.
Counselors, if you have a question, you can type a question in the chat and I'll just recognize you in the order in which you appear. For questions. Councillor Samodiak.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it was just a comment. I didn't really have a question, but that I just thought you just presented the information in a really easy to kind of see way, and you're very thorough with kind of explaining it all. So I no questions from me, but no, thank you for presenting that. Just a comment.
Councillors, any other questions or comments? Vice President of Operations and Finance, did you want to wrap this up with any comments at all?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Chair. I'd like to thank you, Patrick, for coming and giving us a presentation on our audited financials.
Thank you, everyone, for having me. Always a pleasure. And I truly hope that at this time next year, we can be doing this in person in the council chambers. Hopefully, some of you will still be on council. But for those of you who are completing your terms, thanks for your service. And I know your university appreciates it.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Okay, we'll move on to item four for information, 4.1 reports. 411, President, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just one oral supplement. So on Monday, McEwen University, along with 8 other post-secondary institutions in Alberta, announced that we would be moving to having a mandatory vaccination policy in place. So for the institutions, they all have staggered dates, but for McEwen itself, that is coming to effect in winter 2022. And we've been hearing a lot of discourse from students, and you know, we're confident in saying that the overwhelming majority support a vaccine mandate to keep the most vulnerable members of our community safe, and we as the Students Association support this. So we want to support anything that provides a safe and consistent learning environment, and we need to take care of those who are most vulnerable. And as you likely see after this, there were some COVID updates for restrictions, so I'm sure we're going to be moving in that direction regardless of what the university decides in the 4 months between when the decision comes into effect. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, President. 412, Vice President, Academic, any oral supplements?
No oral supplements. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. 413, Vice President, External, any oral supplements?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just want to highlight also in accordance with the Get Out the Vote shirt that Miles and I are wearing, that I and the rest of council, the rest of EC have been spending a large amount of our time tabling at the various Governance Week and Get Out the Vote initiatives. And I encourage you all to take part in them as well. I know as counselors, sometimes you can think that your engagement bar is up there, but I encourage you to take part in what we have remaining for the rest of the week and onward. And I just want to highlight Councillor Tesfaye for coming out to a lot of events and mobilizing a lot of people. So thank you.
Thank you. 414, Vice President, Operations and Finance, any oral supplements?
Yes, please. Thank you, Chair. So as our Vice President External alluded to, GovWeek is happening this week. There is one day left of events. Starting tomorrow, Campaigning 101 starts at 10 a.m. and you can register to attend the session online on the SAMU website. And then we also have our Executive Committee Forum happening from 1 to 3 p.m. in the Lookout. It will be streamed via Facebook Live as well, so feel free to stop by and ask us some questions, say hi. And yeah, that's all that I have. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. 415, Vice President, Student Life, any oral supplements?
As presented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. 416, the audited financials that we just discussed. 4.2, Executive Committee minutes of August 11th and 25th, 2021 are provided in your package for your information. Item 5, question period. 5.1, written questions, none this week, or this month rather. 5.2, oral questions. We'll open the floor for questions now. If you have a question, you can type question into the chat and I will recognize you in the order in which you appear. President?
Thank you, Chair. So my question is out for counselors who have an answer for this. Essentially, I was wondering what the student pulse is, what you've been hearing regarding the decision to make mandatory vaccinations on campus. You know, what is surrounding that? And so, yeah, open to any counselor who has been hearing any of this discourse.
So if you'd like to comment on that question, just type comment into the chat and I'll recognize you in the order in which you appear here. Councillor Tran.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just in response to the president's comment or question, from my end, I've heard just like an overwhelming wave of support and honestly like relief from a lot of students. I think having a vaccine mandate will really provide a lot of reassurance for a lot of folks. So I just think on my end, I've heard nothing but really positive stuff. There've been like maybe minor comments about like maybe like indifference or discontent with the policy, but for the most part, it's really overwhelmingly supportive.
Thank you, Councillor. Other comments in relation to the president's question? Councillor Samodia.
I already had a chat with the president in person earlier today, kind of about kind of what I've been hearing, but it was just like an additional comment I want to add on for the president. I was just wondering, I believe it was Nate that's also extending their ad drop deadline by like kind of 2 weeks and in accordance kind of with the new policy, a new vaccine mandate has been announced, and especially all the new recent ones that just came out in the last half an hour. Is there, I don't know if this is like within our scope, but do you think there could be a similar policy update done for other students here at McEwen? I'm glad that we're waiting till winter 2022, which gives us a couple months to kind of adjust and get ready for it. But I'm just thinking about some of these students that might not be in full agreement with this, but might still need a little bit of time to process. Because I know that I believe the ad drop deadline is either tomorrow or Friday. I'm just a kind of comment / question for the president.
President, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, thank you for your question, Councillor Smodiuk. So first off, in the account of Nate and a lot of the other ones who announced along with McEwen, they were going for immediate vaccine mandates. So it wasn't delayed until January 2022 or winter 2022 for us. So that's why they're extending the ad drop deadline, because there's an immediate impact to their education. Because McEwen is taking that 4 months to kind of consult with students, take that time to hear what accommodations they need to make, we essentially don't have the urgency to switch the ad drop deadline, because it doesn't have any monetary or academic impact on those who are unvaccinated currently. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, President. Are there anyone else that wants to comment on the President's initial question with respect to the vaccine mandate? I'm not seeing any other comments. President, did you have any additional questions?
Nothing further. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Other questions? If you have a question, you just type question into the chat. Councillor Tesfaye.
Hi. I guess this question could be to any of the vice presidents, but how will they, or starting winter, how will the, the new vaccine rule be enforced? Will students be checked at the entrances, or is it all done through the Blackboard course? Through Blackboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. President, would you care to take that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So in the email on Monday, McEwen said they would be announcing some details later today. From what we've been hearing, they're going to be using the Safe at McEwen app to declare vaccination status. And then those who won't don't have their vaccine declaration status in and in the affirmative that they have been vaccinated, I'm guessing will likely not be allowed to enroll in courses. The exact details of this need to be worked out, but come winter 2022 semester, those who are unvaccinated will not be allowed in in-person classes.
Thank you, President. Councillor Tesfaye, any additional questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Aboud?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just had a question in regards to where the funding is coming from for the rapid testing program and whose pocket that's going to come out of, considering those tests are $175 a piece. So I want to know whose pocket is that coming out of? Is that going to affect tuition again? Is that going to change some rates again for student fees? So essentially, I just want to know where the funding is coming from for some of these rapid programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. President?
Yes, thank you so much, Chair. Councillor Boud, in regards to that, it's looking like we had this conversation at our meeting with administration last week. This was a specific question we asked: who will be shouldering the burden? Who will be taking on the burden of the cost? And the answer is not clear at this point. There was discussion that they would essentially be charged a certain amount possibly for the rapid tests and then be reimbursed upon completion. There was also discussion of that it could be assessed to the individual based on circumstance, or there was also the circumstance that it could be just the burden taken on by the university itself. But there is a sense that, we need to get vaccinated first off, and those who aren't are making a conscious choice and therefore may subject to some cost. But details of that have not been made public, and I'm not aware of anything personally as well. Thank you.
Thank you, President. Councillor Aboud, any additional questions?
No, but I think I just want to just make a last comment there just based on the answer, if that's okay. I think for myself, and I would assume maybe probably a majority of students, the thing is there's got to be a fine line between mandating vaccines, but then putting the cost onto those that have gotten the vaccine to supply tests for those that can't or won't. So I just want to make sure that there is a fine line there into how these fees are affecting the students that are now abiding, even if they didn't want to, so that they can continue their education, but not being held responsible for the costs associated with those who don't.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Ma.
Thanks, Chair. Regarding the app, because I know Alberta Health has all the records of vaccinations, and for the app, is it a simple declaration, or would students have to share information about Alberta Health? They log into Alberta Health and they send a screenshot or something like that to the app for it to be, like, you know, verified the information is correct that they have both shots of the vaccine. So I wondering how that would work.
Thank you, Councillor. President?
Thank you, Chair. So as in regarding how it works to be declare your vaccination status, the details of that have also not been come out yet. We're hoping that it's by end of week as well. We do have a student representative for the Safe at McEwen app, or rather, yes, that's the right name, Safe at McEwen app. The Vice President's Student Life will be testing that app and what it means for students to get some feedback on that. But, you know, once we hear, Council will know as well. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you. Vice President External, you wanted to add to that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just want to say that Vice President Academic and I were in a information technology management meeting just some hours ago where this very similar question was actually asked. And I want to make two things clear. Number one, much like the specifics of the rapid testing program and the specifics on some of the mandates, I, at least from my standpoint, am very disappointed with the lack of clarity the university is giving. I don't think they are bordering on the negligent or anything, but I just want to be clear that in the many meetings we've had, I've had lists of questions of which most of them are rendered moot by the fact that they have yet to make a decision. So I just want to make that clear that we are as frustrated as you are with the lack of clarity there. The second thing, though, as Miles said, yes, they have not formally decided, but something that was brought up today is that the data for that will, if it is stored, will be stored on quite literally the most secure servers that they can store it on. Again, I don't know the specifics of technical language, but it is a very high priority of theirs. And hope that answers your question.
Thank you. Councillor Ma, did you have any additional questions?
No further questions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Simodiak.
Just got another question for the president.
Floor is yours.
Oh, perfect. I was also, and I know, like, once again, this information just came out, like, at 6 here. Is the winter 2022 day, like, 100% set in stone, or do you think that some of these new mandates that were just set by the provincial government, is that going to accelerate any timeline, or is that set in stone? I'm just curious.
Thank you, Councillor. President?
Thank you, Chair. So on that, one thing I noted when they made the announcement was that they used the language winter 2022 rather than giving a specific time frame, like even saying January 2022. So this leaves some ambiguity up to interpretation of when this would be implemented. As for what the new COVID restrictions that just came out 20 minutes ago, what this means for possibly accelerating that, I have no idea, but I'm sure we will be monitoring that and having communications with administration as new information is presented. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, President. Councillor Simodiak, did you have any additional questions?
No, nothing further. Thank you, thank you, President.
Thank you. Other questions? Last call for questions. Okay, we'll move on to item 6, in camera period, nothing there. Item 7, motions and business orders of the day. 7.1, 2020-2021 annual report. Vice President of Operations and Finance, you'll introduce this motion.
Thank you, Chair. I move to approve the 2020-2021 annual report.
Thank you. And a second, please. Councillor Aboud, thank you. Has been moved and seconded to approve the 2020-2021 annual report. Vice President of Operations and Finance, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, I would. And I also have a little PowerPoint presentation to share with you all as well. So give me one second here while I figure out. There we go. Can you all see my screen? Perfect. Let's press present and see what happens. Can you still see the presentation? Great. Here we go. Okay. So this is a very brief presentation on the annual report. As you all know, it is in our bylaws to create an annual report for members of SAMU, outlining the activities and status of SAMU. Also, according to policy, the annual report is approved by Students Council. And the annual report contains a letter from the president, election and referenda results, and informative details and metrics on the activities of SAMU, including progress on the strategic plan, advocacy, clubs, events, programs, and services. So this is kind of the way our annual report is set up this year. And given that during this year with COVID, SAMU's operations were adjusted significantly due to the pandemic, so much of our data is not comparable to our previous years. As such, the report focuses a lot on the qualitative reporting. So the report is outlined by the 8 strategic goals that we are, is that 8? Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, sorry. It's been a very long day. The 7 strategic goals that we had for the 2018 to 2021 strategic plan. The first one being dedicated advocacy. So some of the things that we kind of did throughout the year with McEwen, we advocated for greater predictability in tuition, and we advocated against the e-proctoring system. Provincially, we held the Penguin protest. We did advocacy around Alberta 2030. And nationally, our COVID relief funding, including Canada Emergency Student Benefits, and we doubled the Canadian Student Grant for the 2020-2021 academic year. Our VP External was elected to leadership boards as well, and our president was elected as ESA chair. We restructured our advocacy portfolio to focus on external advocacy and developed the Student Ombuds support that guides McEwen students through academic and non-academic appeals. Our commitment to sustainability goal, we approved our new strategic plan with a new vision, mission, values, goals, and strategies. We developed the new strategic and corporate planning framework to improve planning and reporting and linked related processes. The GRIF updated their strategic plan. We increased student eco-awareness, partnering with local green businesses. And we developed a new internet site called SAMUnity to help staff feel connected in a pandemic world. Our relations with community, SAMU hosted the City Council Forum in partnership with the Edmonton Student Alliance. We bought local gift cards for giveaways, offered student meal kits and activity ideas for home. And the GRIF created local gift guide for the holidays. Our stewardship of resources goal, we had updated budget presentations to student council to increase transparency and understanding. Student groups issued $10,000 of operating grants. We documented HR recruitment processes and implemented the student groups connect system to improve workflow processes. And we improved the processes of our marketing projects. Integration of the SAMU building. We implemented COVID practices, keeping students and staff safe and healthy during the times that the building was open. We secured food vendors and began construction with Chachi's, not anticipated to open soon anymore. Chachi's is officially open, but in the previous year, it was set to open soon. RBC held virtual events, and our benefits desk was also opened periodically throughout the year. Connecting with students, we held 2 referendums, the My Legal Plan and the UPass. We held a back to school panel with the executive committee, and Students Council and executive committee online forums. We created the Student Voice on Sexual Violence Elimination Subcommittee. We increased subscriptions to the SAMU newsletter, and we had 3,500 volunteer hours logged for peer support, food support, study buddies, and 11,000 hours for student groups. Enhancing the student experience, we partnered with COCA, offering a concert during Fall Fest. We had many speaker series held throughout the year. We did our first year, the 12 Days of Giving campaign, with over 11,000 entries. We had a virtual reading break activities and giveaway. We partnered with Charm for a two-part series. We shifted pretty much many of our programs and services to online to accommodate the pandemic. The pantry opened online, and the pantry opened online bookings and saw an increase in numbers of individuals served, and Breakfast Club offered gift cards to students. So our election results for 2021 are listed on the slide here. I'm not going to read them out to you, but we had six candidates run for five positions, with voter turnout being significantly lower. And we hope that the lower rate was largely due to COVID-19 and reduced students on campus. Our students council elections saw voter turnout saw voter turnout of 5.69%. We had five candidates run for 14 positions, and the same thing. We hope that the lower voter turnout was largely just due to COVID and the reduction of students on campus. So to end up, we have a brief little spending by goal chart there provided for you. We did see some changes in how we spent our money, but most of the percentage changes are a result of offering fewer in-person events, programs, and services to students. And this decreases the percentage of enhancing the student experience, but increases the cost in most of the other goals. And so that is a very brief kind of overview of, I will stop sharing now, the annual report. And with that, I will turn the floor back to the chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So we do have a motion in front of us is to approve the 2020-2021 annual report. Is there any debate on that motion? Last call for debate. Questions on the adoption of the motion to approve the 2020-2021 annual report. Is there anyone in opposition? Please speak now. Motion is carried. Item 7.2, committees policy, Vice President Operations and Finance. The motion is yours to introduce.
So I move to approve the committee's policy on the recommendation of the Bylaws and Policy Committee.
Thank you, Vice President. And a second, please. President, thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the committee's policy on the recommendation of the Bylaws and Policy Committee. Vice President Operations and Finance, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, please. Thank you, Chair. So the recommendation for a small update to this policy, it happens in the Appointment Advisory Committee's TOR, was provided to the Bylaws and Policy Committee. The change to the TOR was to add a line to the mandate, as the Appointment Advisory Committee, AAC, had discussions surrounding equity, diversity, and inclusion in governance, and the unique role that the committee can have in advancing EDI within our elections. And so essentially, AAC also created a new student council application that includes the EDI-related self-identifying questions and requested that we had looked into adding something into policy. So BPC took a look at it, and I'm now bringing it forward to council. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Vice President. Is there any debate on the motion? President?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So as the chair of the Appointments Advisory Committee, this is the discussion that myself, our governance advisor, and Councillor Abood had, and largely it was trying to create sustainability in how we approach equity, diversity, and inclusion. Though, you know, we as a committee may be tasked with this for this year, and we have a particular mindset and objectives that we want to accomplish when filling council vacancies or, you know, looking for the chief returning officer or anything of that sort. We want to ensure that beyond our year, there's a continued focus on EDI because it's so important that we have a council that's representative of the students we have on our campus. And, you know, like was said in the briefing note presented by the Vice President of Operations and Finance, the elections do not always produce results that are representative of the population, but AAC has the responsibility and the opportunity to create that, that through appointments if there are vacancies at council. And that is all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, President. Is there any additional debate? Question is on the adoption of the motion to approve the committee's policy on the recommendation of the Bylaws and Policy Committee. Is there anyone in opposition? Please speak now. The motion is carried. Item 7.3, Remuneration of Elected Representatives Policy Exemption Request. Vice President Academic, can you introduce the motion, please?
Absolutely. I move to exempt the Vice President Academic, myself, from Section 2 of Appendix A in the remuneration of elected representatives policy beginning September 1st, 2021 and ending April 30th, 2022.
Thank you. And the second, please. Councillor Abood, thank you. Vice President Academic, would you like to speak to your motion?
Absolutely. All right. So I'm seeking an exemption to the items, the second item in Appendix A of this policy, because it states that executives are required to maintain a minimum of one credit of coursework at McEwen University in each of the fall and winter academic terms and may not exceed three credits in the one academic term. Now, we already tried to get around the policy as has been done many times historically. For myself, in order to be able to graduate on time, I need to technically enroll in two classes for the fall and two classes in the winter semester, which is not allowed under the existing parameters. I wouldn't be taking these classes at the additional class, I guess, for each of these semesters at McEwen University. I would be doing it at Athabasca in an online platform. And as I mentioned previously, historically, a number of executives at SAMU and other associations similarly have enrolled in multiple classes to avoid policy breaches, doing it outside the main institution itself. So I'm looking for council's consent in order to be able to enroll in the second class itself, either at McEwen or an online institution, although I have hinted that I am looking at and may have already enrolled in Athabasca, that can offer me the same credits for the coursework towards my degree. And I've discussed this possibility of the two classes in one semester with my executive team, and I have their support, and I'm confident that this would not impact the quality or the quantity of my contributions to SAMU as Vice President Academic.
Thank you, Vice President. Is there any debate? Last call for debate. Vice President External.
Thank you, Chair. What can you, this is for the Vice President Academic. What can you say to, what strategies will you make use of to ensure that this additional class does not detract from your duties? Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President. Vice President Academic.
Thank you, Chair. I am a big fan of Google Calendar, not gonna lie. I have in fact reduced number of shifts that I work at my part-time job and then have also dropped quite a few extracurriculars. So I believe I'm more than capable of handling two classes at the same time as this position. And of course, time management. Big fan. I would hope by my fifth year university, I would have figured it out a little bit by now.
Thank you. Is there any additional debate? President?
Thank you, Chair. So I just want to speak in favor of this motion. I've had the opportunity and the pleasure of knowing our Vice President Academic for about 3 years now, and I have all the confidence in saying that she will fulfill her duties as Vice President Academic, and this will not have any impact on that. The Vice President Academic mentioned, basically, this has happened in previous instances of the executive just going through Athabasca University or somewhere else that offers online courses, but there have been some unexpected barriers to access. So this is why we're going through that process. And like the Vice President Academic said, she has the support of the executive committee. And, you know, if there is a time that there is any questions regarding the duties or the responsibilities of the Vice President Academic, just know that the executive committee will support our Vice President.
Thank you, President. Is there any other debate? Oh, sorry, Councillor Samodiak.
I just got another question there for the VPA. Do you think additionally, and I think it's really cool what you're doing, and I totally get with online or with right now, the feels like the world's getting crazier every day. So I wish definitely the best of luck to you. But do you think you could also implement maybe, let's say at the beginning of the year, almost like a check-in with the rest of council in the sense of saying, hey, you know, fall semester went good. Like, I'm sure you're going to do fine on with their classes, but I know executive council's in your corner, but I feel like just as much as you're consulting all of us, like the entire council here, I think it would kind of be cool for us to kind of see your kind of progress and almost like cheer you along the way. Just I guess it wasn't a question, it was more of a comment, but best of luck to you. Definitely supported this too.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Aboud?
Yeah, I would just like to comment, when I read the motion, I have full confidence that you would be able to handle two classes along with the workload. But I do just want to make sure that more of a comment than anything. I just want to make sure that in the process of that, which you have reiterated already, that you've kind of taken a step back in things that you felt that maybe needed to be stepped back on in order for you to do this. So I guess I just want to reiterate that in that process, I just really want to emphasize to lean on your peers for support if you do find that you do need it. Because I think in this process, and as it's been echoed, especially in the last hour or so, in the situation that we're in and with a constantly evolving situation, to just make sure that your mental health remains there as well. And I apologize, but my voice goes in and out. So I fully support it. I did from the beginning, and I really hope all the best. And I just really hope that you'll utilize every single support that you can to make sure that you can do it successfully so that you're not delayed.
Thank you, Councillor. Would anyone care to speak in opposition to the motion? Okay, the question is on the adoption of the motion to exempt the Vice President Academic from Section 2 of Appendix A in the Remuneration of Elected Representatives policy beginning September 1st, 2021 and ending April 30th, 2022. Is there anyone in opposition? Please speak now. Motion is carried. Item 7.4, this is a piece of business we need to take care of. 2020-2021 Counselor of the Year. Vice President Academic, would you like to just speak to this piece of business before we open the voting link?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chair. So we only had one nomination come forward. So this is going to be more so a confidence vote of yes or no. This individual was nominated twice. You are very familiar with this individual, and you will see it in your voting link shortly. Just remember that if this is a counselor you support and really do think they did their fullest amount this year and fulfilled their counselor duties, then show that support now.
Okay, I believe Alan is opening the voting link. Direct you to that link in your agenda package, and Alan will let me know when all of the votes have been accumulated. Okay, I know there's an issue with Councillor Ma being able to log in, and I'm not sure. I think we've got 8 or 9 out of 11 who have voted so far. So maybe we'll do a last call. I get the sense that we've got a strong majority in one way or the other, but I'll give you kind of a last second to get your vote in before we move things along here. Okay, I think we've got one outstanding. That may be you, Councillor Ma, I don't know. But perhaps you can be in contact with Alan if you weren't able to log in or you weren't able to kind of get to the forms. We'll move on to item 8, consultation, nothing there. Item 9, evaluation. And we'll open the evaluation form. Hopefully we don't have the same issue with login with respect to that form as well, but that link is in your package.
My apologies. My data just like disconnected for some reason.
I'm told that 10 out of 11 have completed the evaluation.
I'm not even sure I'm the 11th. I'm doing, no, my apologies.
Okay.
You guys can go ahead without me. I'm just having a hard time with my internet connection. I'll make sure to finish it once I get decent connection.
Okay, thank you, counselor. I had a funny quip today about not knowing if you were gonna finish or if you were finished the evaluation template, but yeah, it's too much. Too much lately to have funny quips, right? So let's move on to item 10, recognition. Let's cheer each other up with some recognition. We need a quip. I was going to say, I didn't know if you were all filling out the evaluation template or if you, like the rest of Albertans at 6 o'clock, were busy Googling whether or not the Oilers did enough in the offseason to win the Stanley Cup this year. But we'll never know. We will know in a month. So that was my quip. But so item 10, recognition. If you have an item for recognition, you can type recognition in the chat and I will recognize you in the order in which you appear. Vice President, Operations and Finance.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to recognize Councillor Tesfaye for coming out to all of the GovWeek and tabling events that have happened this week. It was really nice to see him and great to, sorry, it's been a long day. It was really nice to see him and it was great to have him get involved with some of the activities happening that we were doing this week.
Thank you, Vice President. Councillor Tran.
I'd like to recognize our VPO for planning and executing the GovWeek event. I think she put so much work into it and it's really turned out excellent. So I just want to applaud her for that.
Thank you, Councillor. Vice President External.
Sorry, thank you, Chair. My recognition was already given, but I'll say it doubly that I really appreciate that Councillor Tesfaye has been so good at mobilizing students to come to our events and as well as empowering other students to run for Students Council, which I would encourage anyone who is thinking maybe to do it. And I'd be happy to help you and as much as our bylaws allow, hold your hand through some of the process.
You, Vice President. President.
Thank you, Chair. Everybody I wanted to recognize has already been recognized, but you know, let's triple down, I suppose. So first off, to our Vice President Operations, she has been working so hard, and you know that effort shows in the quality of what's been put forward, as well as you know everything, you know, just everything. I know you've been having extremely long days, and I just want to thank you for your dedication to your role because it's turning out amazing, and there's still a day left, and I know the rest of it is going to be amazing as well. And then my second recognition is for Councillor Tesfaye. You know, he's been such a strong supporter through GovWeek, and especially just when needed, he was there also at Meet SAMU Week tabling, and you know, he's really taken the commitment to engaging with students personally, and I want to thank him for that. So thank you.
Thank you, President. Other recognition? Last call for recognition. Councillors, I think I should recognize you all. You know, being a leader in a time like this is a challenge, and especially when in the absence of other leadership sometimes, you know, standing up in front of other students and asking the questions that I know thousands of them have, and to the executive as well. I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls. So kudos to all of you for standing up and being leaders at a time like this, because this is when good leaders really shine. So congratulations to you. So we'll move on to item 11, adjournment. We require a motion to adjourn. Can I have someone introduce that motion? Vice President External?
I would move to adjourn this meeting.
Thank you. That motion only requires one mover and is not debatable. The question is on the adoption of the motion to adjourn. Is there anyone in opposition? Please speak now. Hearing none, that motion is carried and this meeting is adjourned. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good one.